Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. There comes a time in women's lives when they enter menopause, and apparently there's no good way to deal with it, or at least no good books that tell women how to deal with it that aren't extremely scientific and also terrifying. So as my next guest points out, by 2015, almost half of all American women will be or have been menopausal. Her name is Sandra Tsing Lo. You know that name, a comedian and author of the new book that's out now, The Mad Woman in the Volvo. Hi, Sandra. Welcome back to WNYC.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Why'd you write a book about the cheery topic of menopause?
Well, I think when it was first a piece that my Atlantic editor was trying to assign me for several years, and I kept running away when he was trying to assign it to me because I go, menopause, it just doesn't appeal to me. It's, you know, you're dried up and old and et cetera, et cetera. It has a lot of negative connotations. But then I started to go through the symptoms of and for me, it was these wild mood swings. And then I started like trying to look at books on it. And as you said, it's like it's just a lot of medical advice of, you know, you're sweating and bloated and angry, et cetera, et cetera. So just cut out alcohol, sugar, and caffeine, drink water and have kale, and you'll be just fine. And the advice for women is just completely useless.
Why the Mad Woman in the Volvo is your title? Is there a hint of madness in what you're getting at?
Yeah, no, there's total madness. First of all, when it started happening to me, I go, I am going mad. And then someone said, it's just menopause. I go, menopause, that's great. I'll take a pill. It'll be fine. But I think that women experience, you can sort of rage, you know, you talk about the estrogen cloud is lifting, where you used to just sort of, you know, automatically feed people sandwiches and wash their socks, and you were in this cloud, and it starts to lift. And you go, what have I been doing all these years? And you can perceive it as rage. And also, it's happening to women. You know, the onset of perimenopause is about 46, and that's sort of an age I call as the triple M's of middle-aged mothers in menopause, where you're taking care at an age where in ancient tribes you would go off to a cave to be alone. You've got adolescent kids. You've got elderly parents, probably a sick dog. You're working full time.
Especially as women have children at an older age.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're really stuck in this groove. And so the Mad Woman in the Volvo is this mad woman driving a Volvo full of people with the air conditioner turned down to 30 degrees.
Now, you have a funny list of symptoms of menopause, but then you say, wait, that isn't so different from how I usually am. So can you tell people a few of the things on that list?
Oh, yeah. It's hot flashes, night sweats, panic attacks, anxiety, bloating, sort of lack of libido.
You were like that when you were 35?
Exactly. Except for the hot flashes. It's like, and you know, panic and anxiety at the same time. I know women who haven't slept through the night in years, and that was before they went into menopause.
There's a funny parallel that you tease out in the book, where because of the age you had your kids and lots of your friends, as opposed to your parents' generation, you're parenting your girls as they're tweens, and so they're just starting to deal with adolescent hormones. At the same time, you're dealing with your own menopausal hormones.
Yes.
How did that play out in your household?
Oh, my God. It's crazy. It's kind of like it's like birds flying into a window of plate glass every 15 minutes of some new crisis that's coming over us. And I think one of the interesting scientific facts about this is that when you're in menopause, your hormone levels return to what they were as a pre-adolescent girls with a little more free testosterone. So I and my preteen girls are sort of processing the same hormones, which kind of means that our house looks like a bunch of bachelor serial killers live there. You know, no one is drawn to do dishes or empty the cat litter box or do laundry. It's sort of a big wreck.
And when you're 65 and they're 35, you'll miss it.
Yeah, I will.
It's too calm around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking back, you develop more sympathy with your own mother as you've gone through this time of life yourself. Want to tell us the Pyrex baking dish story?
Yeah. So my mother turned 48, and she was not in the Mad Men era, Mad Women of the 1960s suburban ladies flying around in lipstick and heels and keeping it all together. And so for her 48th birthday, we said, well, you know what? She loves to bake, and the old baking dishes are rusty, so let's give her a Pyrex baking dish. And she opened it, and she hurled it against the wall, and she said, this is the cruelest thing you can do. you think of me as your baker. And then she went to bed and sort of drew the curtains, and that was it. So what we experienced in this time of that women didn't talk about what was happening, one moment they're drying dishes, the next moment they're hurling them, and nobody, everyone remembers that moment when mom or my aunt or grandma turned, and no one talked about it.
So did you used to begrudge your mom that Pyrex smash, and now you don't?
I think at the moment, you know, I ducked. Now I totally don't. And I'm very sympathetic to how those women really held it together in that time. And in her case, she held it together with the single Camel cigarette she allowed herself at the end of the day.
So what's one of your own Pyrex smash moments?
Oh, I have tons of them. It's kind of like I've thrown a bunch of coffee cups, although I've never thrown, you could throw an old dial phone, but not an iPhone because they're actually too light. It opens in the book where I'm actually driving along the freeway and thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner and thinking about the Trader Joe's parking lot and how small it is and the samples are so bad in mid-afternoon. And I have to pull to the side of the road and I just start crying and uncontrollably. And that was the first moment that it started to come on, depression.
Don't you hate those little parking lots?
I don't know why. They're never zoned correctly. And the samples like whole wheat pasta and unfiltered apple juice, that's not a sample.
My son made fun of me the other day for doing an 18-point turn to get out of a parking spot in a parking lot.
Yes. Yeah. People are shaky with their soy, but they're not getting up to.
And you find yourself constantly thinking about your role as the breadwinner, yet wanting someone to do things around the house, whether it's fixing things like your ex-husband did or just dinner and dishes. And at the end of the book, you talk about how your goal for yourself is to, quote, become the man I want to marry. Talk about that idea.
Well, I think marriage and in this book, you know, it deals with my blow up. I had an extramarital affair and I kind of like blew up several households, then was alone for a while. I mean, it was a really traumatic midlife crisis. And I think in terms of marriage, there's a lot that people are balancing today. Today an average, you know, full-time working mother spends more time with her kids than a 1950s stay at home. So the bar for mothering is high. We're working full-time, you know, and then trying to have date night once a week over toddler toys. So there are many roles that husbands and wives are working with each other. And I think and people are working and parenting, and it's a lot to hold together. And sometimes we really want to – women, there's sort of a paradox. If we want a man to take care of us, but we also want someone to be around and listen to us and to not go to work and to be our friends. So it's like there are four husbands we want. We want a handyman. We want an intern. We want a friend. And it's not fair for the men for us to expect so many things from them.
And so to that point, maybe the most controversial thing you ever wrote was in The Atlantic.
Yeah.
That your best advice was that people should, quote, avoid marriage or you too may suffer the emotional pain, the humiliation, and the logistical difficulty, not to mention the expense of breaking up a long-term union at midlife for something as demonstrably fleeting as love, unquote. And you got a lot of flack for it. Have you reevaluated that, or is that still pretty much how you feel?
You know what? I think it still is how I feel, only because I did take a lot of flack for that. But then, the second wave is people telling me, I've never said this to anyone, but, you know, my life is breaking up. I had this affair. I think that there is a lot of unspoken sort of malaise under marriages that are trying to be held together for the sake of the kids. And I'm actually sympathetic to people who stay married or who break up because it's a lot to put on one plate. But I think it is – I do feel – and we live so much longer now – so if you have a 60-year-long marriage, that's something to behold. But people change a lot, and I'm actually sympathetic to anybody who's struggling.
Sandra Tsing Lo, the comedian and the author of the new hilarious and not book, The Mad Woman in the Volvo. You'll take that description, hilarious and not?
Yes, I will take that. And
she'll be performing part of the book on stage at Joe's Pub with the Sundance Theater Lab on Monday, May 19th at 7 p.m. You can see details of that performance on our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Sandra, thanks so much for coming on the show and making people think and really for making people feel safe about having some of the feelings that they're having.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. Elizabeth Drew next. Stay tuned.